Robert Frost wrote one of my favorite poems. It's called The Pasture. Now, you and I both know I'm no farmer, but this is one of my favorites. I'm going out to clean the pasture spring. I'll only stop to rake the leaves away and to watch the water clear. I may. I shan't be gone long. You come too. This poem is about a New England farmer cleaning out the pasture spring. And it appeals to me in some way, I think partly because it's so calming. Blends the work with rest and contemplation. Kind of inviting, isn't it? Come along with me and clear the spring. Watch the water flow. When I accepted the call to ministry, I did that by way of an experience that happened in seminary. I thought I was going to teach and was being kind of compelled to go that way by many of the professors that I had. But I really sensed God calling me to preach, pastor church. And I had to make a decision, finally, at the close of my seminary career, as to whether I was going to pursue teaching or preaching as a career. And so one of the things that I decided to do was to spend some time, little did I know how long it would take, praying by the lake that was on the campus. I went down to the lake in the evening and I began praying. And I prayed nearly all night. And one of the things, besides the fact that God told me to preach, was that God said, whenever you're around water, you will feel my presence. Isn't that interesting? I am the living water. So water has become for me sort of a symbol of God's purity and cleansing and grace. I don't know if that happens for you or not, but water is very appealing, sort of like the mountains are appealing in some kind of spiritual way, isn't it? It's inviting to go to the water. Now, there's a lot that separates us from the world of the Bible. They didn't worry with keeping their car engines tuned or their tires at the right pressure, and they didn't have to read stock reports or sports scores to find out what's going on or find out about the Olympics. If they set their alarms, well, they'd miss their morning classes if they failed to set their alarms. Did that happen? No. Never lost their cell phones. They didn't have to jump to answer them in the middle of worship. And, well, we live in a different world, don't we? But there's still this deep human issue of relationship and community and society and spirituality. And all those issues are the same. And the dynamics are never going to change. And that's fortunate for us because those are the issues to which the Bible speaks most directly. Issues even about water, accessibility, purity, storage, something we have in common. We're familiar with that. Water was a precious commodity to the people of Israel. It was a serious challenge in a semi-arid land to find a reliable resource of water. A walled city could hold out for weeks on solid food rations, but it couldn't last too long if it didn't have water. Battles were fought over water. Treaties were signed to guarantee access to this water. A spring was the best because it was living water. It was fresh, clear, cool, and in a few places, wells were dug which could simply supply an entire area with good water as long as the water table held. The land had a few reliable streams and only one real river. And because of the scarcity of water, some communities dug out cisterns. Anybody ever have a cistern? I had one in Kentucky. had to be filled on a regular basis, the water drained from the roof into the cistern, and that's the water that we used to shower in. That was the first church I pastored, so now you know how old I am. From time to time, there was no rain, and the cistern would run dry. And we would depend on the farmers to carry loads of water in their truck to fill the cistern. That water is poor quality. It carries dirt, bugs, sticks, leaves, and it becomes polluted sometimes. You don't want to drink it. And this is the image Jeremiah uses in the scripture today. Like Israel's other classical prophets, Jeremiah sees this widespread idolatry in the land, their worship of the popular gods. They had this driving greed for more stuff. And because of it, there was oppression of the poor, and it seemed like the rich were getting richer and the poor were getting poorer. And there just became this kind of casual disregard for fellow Israelites who were suffering. They had this misplaced trust in the strength of their military, arms and alliances. Well, prophets come along and they don't shrug off these things. What they do is they identify them as spiritual tragedies. So in our text today, God complains through the prophet and calls on creation itself to see the foolishness of Israel. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked, be utterly desolate, says the Lord. My people have committed two evils. Did you recognize the two evils? They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they've dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. Like Israel's other prophets, Jeremiah likes to use these vivid visual images to get his point across. He doesn't have a digital camera. He doesn't have a video recorder, so he paints the picture with words. Look how stupid these people are. I offer this cool, refreshing, healing water of a spring. But they prefer this brackish, polluted, and finally failing water of a cracked cistern. I give them Evian and Perrier, but they prefer to drink from the cattle trough. They've turned away from God, their source of life, and they've turned towards the idols and values and lifestyles that will only bring them death. What kind of fools would do such a thing as that? Well, you know the disaster that fell on Israel when they lost focus, when they abandoned the core values that made them the strong people that they were, when they trusted in politics and wealth and war to save them instead of trusting in God. And so I ask you, if Jeremiah were to look at our land today, what would he say? No. What would he say about us? You know, a lot of us have a way of dumping trash on the people who are closest to us. Anybody ever do that? Just kind of like gets all pent up inside and pollutes our spirits, and then the next thing we know, what happens? Yeah, then we pollute the spirit. It all kind of comes out, you know. And they get affected negatively by the rancor, the cynicism, or the depression. If we don't tend to the well and we keep the good water flowing, the trash is going to choke everything else that depends on it. And what's the trash that clogs our wells? Well, the news can do it. You know, I'm telling you, folks, if you pay attention so closely to the news and you live on CNN or Fox News or whatever station you watch, I'm trying to cover everybody politically here. I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter. If that's what your life is getting, what do you think is going to come out? And I know there are ordinary frustrations too. I mean, you get a flat tire or a traffic jam or a computer crash. Sometimes that happens. Most days we're resilient enough to deal with the unexpected kinds of things that happen in our life, and they're just interruptions. But at times we become so vulnerable, and the least little thing feels like it's a huge disaster. You ever had that happen? And the trash we choke on is more than just the irritations. We're bombarded by messages that run counter to everything the gospel tells us we're supposed to be living. Loving other people, building a society, compassion for all. Living these values and finding real meaning in our life. We're told we're only worth what wealth we can control. What jobs we have. We're told that what makes right and violence is the best way to make our place in the world. And we're barraged with words intended to humiliate and damage people, and hate speech and tough talk. And we're shown that profits are more important than people, and the comfort of a few more important than the health of the many. And we're marinated in this racism and sexism and classism and you name it. Right? Now, I don't want you to hear me saying our American culture is evil. I'm not saying that. I am saying that we've got problems. And I'm not saying we're worse than any other nation. But it seems to me at this moment we aren't striving for the best ideals. Are we? And out of all the idolatries that we have, the self-centered values and abuses of power, well, they're soul-killing. They fill us with trash, they clog our wellsprings of joy, and that's not who we are. And as followers of Christ, that's not who Christ wants me to be or you to be. And maybe we can't change our whole culture. Maybe we can't do much to make a world difference, but we can keep ourselves from believing the lies, and we can remember our source and our values and our lives as followers of Christ in this world, and that's why we come here. That's why we're here. You're here so that I can remind you of who you are. Who we are. Because we need it, don't we? And if we don't keep coming back to the wellspring and we start digging the cisterns and we start drinking from them, and if that's all you're getting, well, we have to remember why we're here and who we are. Jesus said, "Do this in memory of me." I wish he also said, "And don't you ever forget." Don't you ever forget who gives you life, who feeds your soul. I am the living water. I am the bread of life. Don't forget it. And let mutual love continue. That's what Hebrews tells us, isn't it? Don't neglect to show hospitality to the strangers, for by doing this, some have entertained angels. Remember those who are in prison. Think about other people. not just yourselves. I want to remind you, you're not here for just you. Could anything be more countercultural to the values of our day than that? Can you imagine hearing such things from the political candidates? Or on the nightly news? Who cares about the poor? Or strangers? Or prisoners? These days. Where are you going to hear that money's not all that important? Where are you going to hear that sexual fidelity is a big deal? Where are you going to hear that? You're going to hear it here. But not likely out there. And that's why we come here. To remember who we are. You know, I've told this story before. I'll share it again because it made such an impact on my life. Every time I went out on Saturday night, do you remember what my dad told me? That's exactly what he said. Go out and have a good time. Have fun. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. In other words, don't be going doing something stupid. That's not you. And I think we come here and God says, y'all remember who you are. And when you get out there in the world, don't be doing something stupid. Remember who you are. You're my child. And I love you very much. And I don't want anything to happen to you. John Whittier wrote a poem, "And so I find it will be to come for deeper rest to this still room. For here the habit of the soul feels less the outer world's control. The strength of mutual purpose pleads more earnestly our common needs, and from the silence multiplied by these still forms on either side, the world that time and sense have known falls off and leaves us God alone." So we take this time, this appointed hour with God, and it's a good gathering with God's family. We were talking about Bill's coming, and A.G. said, you know, after he played just a tremendous piece, Bill. And A.G. said, I would come to hear that every Sunday. I said, well, what am I, chop liver? Well, you're all right, but I would come to hear that every Sunday.
I said, no such thing.
Yes, you did. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go clean out the pasture spring. Stop and rake the leaves away. Wait and watch the water clear. I shan't be gone long. Why don't you come too? Let's pray. Renew our souls, Lord. just clear away all that other stuff, all the anxiety, all the animosity, all the confusion, all the sorrow, everything we've packed up this week and that we bring in here. Lord, just clear it all away. And let the water run clean. The living water. Refresh our souls. Remind us that you're God. We're your children. And that you always go with us. We're never alone. That you refresh the joy we knew when we first followed you. And you help us to stay connected to that each day, that we would listen to your voice over all the other voices. Lead us through the week. Help us to carry your grace, to know that your love is with us, and that your love leaves no one out. Help us to have a confidence in you where real riches lie. And then bring us back again, Lord, to this place where we can sing your praise and worship you and be reminded again. You are the source of life. You are the source of life. Amen.